Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by Pierre, the prize-winning pear. Pair with Pierre anywhere. Episode 289, Real Life React Native with David Lillette.
Hello, listeners. I'm Mazen Chami, and this is our series on React Native Radio called Real Life React Native. This is a series where we interview developers who work on real life React Native apps. They're quick and rapid fire and fun. Let's get started. Today, I'm sitting down with David Lillette. David's been working on React Native since 2016. He's an award-winning front-end developer and speaker with over 50 talks. Thanks for coming on today, David.
Thanks. I'm happy to be there and talking to you on this awesome podcast.
Thank you. We're happy to have you. Today, we're going to talk to David about an app he's been working on called Retail Shake Scanner. What's your elevator pitch for this app, David?
I have two elevator pitch. I will start with a marketing one. It's a competitive intelligence application where you can scan products on the shelf and compare them with your competitors. Because, you know, it's inflation, prices are changing every day, and data is power. And people need to have more power than retailers these days.
I like that.
That's why you need Retail Shake for staying competitive. And for the developer elevator pitch, it's just a boring scanner barcode application with Expo and Expo camera.
That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about when you started using React Native and why you made that switch to React Native.
Personally, I started in 2016. I moved to London. I need to say thank you, Sam Barton, for your trust because he hired me to ship a React Native application. Because at the time, I had experience with Cordova. So I had experience on how to release an application to the Google Play and Apple Store. And it's not a trivial skill to have. Mm-hmm. This particular project, yes. I have a fun fact to say. I didn't know React at the time, so I chose to learn React the hard way by starting by learning React Native.
Doing and, it in reverse, basically.
Yeah, reverse engineering.
Yeah.
And for this particular project, it was started in 2019 by the CEO with Expo 33 and React 16. And it was basically a class with thousands of lines. So it was a big mess, I would say. But I managed to work on it. And it's still on production now. It's on recently I bumped to the Expo SDK 50. So it's good experience overall.
That's pretty cool.
And why I started to use React Native, because it's JavaScript. And just like Jeff Antwood said, any application that can be written in JavaScript will eventually be written in JavaScript. What do you think about this quote?
I like it. It makes sense. But I'd replace JavaScript with TypeScript. But that's just me.
Yes, good.
Can you tell me a little bit about your architecture stack and how you ended up choosing it?
Architecture stack, it's pretty basic. Started with Expo. I introduced React Navigation. I think it was version 3 or 4 at the time. Don't really remember. After that, obviously, I added Expo Camera because there is a barcode scanner. And recently, I migrated to Expo Camera /Next because the fun fact with the last Expo SDK 50, it's using under the hood data scanner view controller on devices running iOS 16 plus. So for the barcode detection is better. We have a map. It's using Expo location and React native maps. And for the price store feature, I had just hacked the UI from Revolut, the ATM locator, because the UI is great. And I have pro tip for the audience. If you don't have a designer, just go to mobin.com. It's the largest mobile and website web design library. Basically, it's the opposite of Dribbble. Dribbble is things that designer wants to do, and Moblin is actually applications that are on production. So you can reverse engineering the design if you don't have ideas for, I don't know, profile screen or navigation stack or things like that. pretty convenient. For the UI, I used Kitten UI because I don't have time to create components and it takes forever. And I use Shopify Restyle because it's nice to have primitives for the design system like margin, spacings, things like that. And it's TypeScript based, so you don't make mistakes with Restyle. For the data layer, I use TanStack Query and I encounter the maintainer at React Summit Amsterdam in 2019. It was, you know, this basic small talk that you see, 15 minutes, and you go back home and you're like, this library is amazing. I need to install it now.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tanner. You changed my life. I already told you, but thanks again. And after that, pretty basic. Formic and Yup for the forms. The backend is a custom backend in PHP. I have a couple of Firebase for the database, the storage for the pictures, and Firebase ML for the machine learning. Because there is a text detection feature, like you scan, you take a picture of an invoice, and automatically we have information about the prices, and we can compare the price with other price we have in the database. And for crash reporting, classic Sentry, because it's working like a charm.
Yeah, and that's a cool stack. Can you describe some unique challenges you encountered while developing your app using React Native?
Yes, because I was there, Gandalf. I was there 1,000 years ago. So I started with Expo, basic Expo. And when they changed to EAS, you need to get rid of the Expo CLI and migrate to EAS. So I needed to migrate the certificates by hand from Expo CLI to EAS. So it's not that it's a complicated task. It just takes time and you need to contact the Google support and they give you instruction, but their instructions are for Android, not really React Native. So you follow the instructions and you're like, it doesn't work. But, you know, I succeeded to migrate. I use the forum, Expo forum. I got some help from the core team. And now the forum, they don't use it anymore. They use Discord for this kind of thing. So it was not really a challenge, but it's just you don't know what to do. You try, and after that, you need to stop 3 days because the support don't contact you. But still, it's doable. I have done it. And the other challenge I encounter is shipping every day, because for this client, I just work 1 day per week. I need to design a system that allows me to ship fast. So how I do that? I just add awesome tools. Mm-hmm. I added gitcz and auto-changelog, so it allows me to have consistency in my commits and automatically generate changelogs. And I can copy and paste changelog to ChatGPT, and ChatGPT output me a nice newsletter for marketing purpose. And on top of that, I added tools to fix my mistakes, like lint stage, ESLint, prettier. And I use a config ESLint from William Condillon, because I don't have time to spend days in figuring out what's the best ESLint configuration.
Nice, yeah. Tell us, how do you handle testing in your application?
So for testing, I have two things put in place. I use a storybook because it's awesome. It's a small library. I encourage people to set up at the beginning because it takes forever to debug visually. So let's say you have an error on the profile only if you are signed in as a certain type of user. It's hard to debug things, so you just extract the logic to a storybook and you write down stories and you have basically all the different scenarios. So for example, for the pricing, I have many different scenarios. So the item is cheaper, the item is more expensive, the price is the same, the location is this, the last time the data was updated was a month ago, thing like that. Many different variations, and it allows me to quickly debug. And I am more visual guy, so I prefer to use Storybook, but I put in place as well React Native testing library. And for this app, I have a coverage of 62%, not 100, but it's not too bad. It's more than half. So not for everything, but just for parts that needs to be unit tested.
Totally. Yeah. Can you share some ways in which you've optimized performance in your application?
For this one, not at all, because I don't have time for this. But I have many advice that I can share because I read a lot of articles. I go to awesome conference. I think last time I've been to ChainReact. I don't know if you heard about it. It's a good conference. You should go there.
You should.
And I collect articles. So I have a mind map. I have a plan of all the optimization you can do. So when I do audits, because I work as a freelance and sometimes I do just audits, I know what needs to be done. And I have a checklist, basically, of everything that you need to do. So for this client, no, because I don't really need. But for other clients, I put in place some optimization. So one would be if you import libraries, take care of your bundle size. That will be my advice. I have a list of 10 different, maybe more, 30 items. But if I will start with one item, maintain your dependencies up to date and be careful with your bundler, with your bundle size.
Yeah, that's very good advice. I like that. Have you had to integrate any native modules or libraries? And if so, how was your experience in doing that?
For this one, it's the same. No, I didn't add any native module except the camera, but it's a simple one. But for another client, I need to work with Bluetooth. And I added a library called React Native Blue PLX. And it's a nightmare to work with when you don't have a cutting-edge documentation. The documentation from the library is great, but the documentation for the Bluetooth is just a chaos. Like, what I'm supposed to do with a manual versioning of a PDF that does not reflect the code naming conventions? So I don't understand why individuals like Mo Gorman, you know, this guy is doing a fantastic library for bottom sheet. He have an awesome library and the documentation is nice. So when I was preparing this interview, I basically sent him $100, $150 as a sponsor because I was like, no, this guy is too good. He deserves to to have some support from the community. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Please, I agree with you. Yeah. Gorham has some really good documentation around his stuff. And I have worked with React Native BLE PLX, and I feel your pain around that. Most of the time, it felt like I was running blind for the most part. And I had to pretty much speak to the Bluetooth manufacturer on what commands they were expecting and then, you know, retrace the steps to this library and then kind of send it and, you know, trial and error.
Yeah, I feel like a hacker. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Next up, how have you dealt with cross-platform differences? So iOS versus Android versus web, if you even have it, while building out this app?
I have many fun facts. I will start with the camera. Do you know what is Use Camera 2 API?
That sounds like an Android-specific thing to me. I think we spoke to Mark Rusavi on the podcast while he was doing React Native Vision Camera.
Yeah.
And I remember him mentioning that underneath the hood, Android has camera and camera 2 implementation.
Yeah. So I discovered it the hard way, obviously, because everything was working. I was testing with my iOS phone. I was testing with my Android phone. And for this app, obviously, my client, the CEO, has an Android, I don't remember which one, but basically the screen was dark, like plain dark. And I was reading the documentation. I was no clue. What is it about? Where's the problem? I don't understand. And one day I realized, whoa, wait a minute. What is this Use Camera 2 props? But it's 2024 and it's not available anymore with the SDK Expo 50 and Expo Camera /Next. Now, under the hood, it's using Camera X. So I think it's the third one library. And I, yes. So yeah, Google is using now Camera X. And it's the answer to more to the legacy Camera 2 API. But I don't want to manage with these things. People from Expo and people are doing a really, really good job about it. I just don't have the skills. So, and I send me force because they are doing a really, really good job and handling all of this for us.
Yeah, I love that. What advice would you give to companies considering making the switch to React Native?
Start with one password, please, and have a good, strong strategy for credentials, and create just a simple onboarding playbook. Why? Do you have horror stories about, we forgot how was our iOS developer account, and now we can't sign in anymore, so... But you need to deploy the app for today. So I created an Expo checklist, by the way. It's available on the internet. You just type app checklist release, React Native checklist, Expo checklist. I will send you the in the notes. But basically, yeah, it's important to have security, not a security, but like an onboarding playbook on who own what. Because on many companies, you can have really bad issues about it. If for some reason you forgot what is your name, what is your password, or you lose your access to the account, and after that you basically can't do anything. So yes, that would be my number one advice.
Nice. Yeah. Now on the other side of it, what advice would you give to new React Native developers?
Follow my bootcamp. Because I do a bootcamp, so it's open source. You can go on internet. You type React Native bootcamp. But it's basically the stack I described. But now the real advice would be ship an app to production, no matter what. I mean, the truth is when it's on production. Because it's really complicated and it's a real skill to have. It's not like deploying a website. Nowadays, it's easy to ship a website to production with many tools we have, but it's still a challenge. And if you don't have the money, you can start with Android. It's only $30 flat. So for iOS, it's $100 per year. And Android, it's $30 flat. So that will be my number one advice. And learn how to be super productive with Git and all the LS. And put in place all the tools I described before. ESLint, Prettier, things like that.
So last question here. Would you still choose React Native if you could go back with the knowledge that you have today?
Of course, because it's JavaScript. And as you mentioned, so learning React Native made me a better React developer. And I was forced to learn TypeScript when they migrated to TypeScript years ago. So at the beginning, I was like, oh no, it's CoffeeScript again. I don't want to, come on. And I changed my mind. TypeScript is good. Nowadays, I can't work without TypeScript. So, and I have a Ruby on Rails background, so I know how to use a gem file, debugging CocoaPods, read Fastlane stack trace. Mm-hmm. So when I drop in on EAS, I know exactly what's happening. Oh, okay, I have an error. And if for some reason the app crash, I can use Expo prebuild. Open the Xcode debugger and figure out what's happening because I'm used to it, so I'm not lost. But yeah, I will start definitely again because I think it's more easy than ever to start React Native.
Yeah, that's good advice. So before we wrap up here, our listeners are itching to know: will you be at Chain React this year?
I don't know. I don't know. It's depending
on your newborn child.
Yeah. He's the boss now. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully he accepts and we get to see you again this year at Chain React. Thanks again to David Lillette for joining us today and continuing our real life React Native series. If you'd like to be on this new series and talk about your experience using React Native in the real world, email us at rnradio@infinite.red and introduce yourself and your app. See you all next time.
See you, everyone.
As always, thanks to our production team with editor Todd Wirth. Our assistant editor and episode release coordinator, yours truly, Jed Bartoski. Our director of marketing, Justin Husky, and our guest coordinator, Derek Greenberg. Our producer and host is Jamin Holmgren, and executive producers and hosts are Robin Hines and Mazen Chami. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out at infinite.red/ReactNative. A special thanks to all of you listening today. Make sure to subscribe to React Native Radio wherever you get your podcasts.